conflicts of the freaking life. Boy, this is going to be a funny show today. Today we talk about help. My wife is now the man of the house. That's what we're going to be talking about today on the conflicts of life. Boy, I can't wait to get into this show. This is going to be a good one, like usual. I have a lot of things to say about this. We had some questions that came in, so we are going to, kind of deal with the questions accordingly. And, of course, we can't do this without Mr. Reed being in the house. Mr. Reed, welcome to the show, sir.
Good evening. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. So, man, listen, before we get into today's show, I just posted up something, basically the question was, how long do you think it would take for your man to actually go out and try to find somebody else to have sex with if you were in jail? Oh, I found that one online, Mr. Reed. I thought that was the funniest thing because I had to stop and be honest and think about how most dudes are. Women, they will wait for their man. 10 dudes will talk to them, and no, I'm okay. I got a man. But, even though that man is locked up in prison, but if the shoe was on the other foot, you're like, well, she ain't going to be out for a little while, so... You know, I have needs. You know how that sound, man. So I thought that was quite funny. Anyway, what's happening, man?
As you know, it's hump day, man. Been hump day.
Hey. You know, man, I thought it was Tuesday. I'm glad it's, man, my days are, okay, anyway, let's get on with it. We're going to need all the time we can get for this show. Help, my wife is now the man of the house. Let's do a little bit. We got a question that came in, but let me do a little opener. Let's just get to the questions. We'll deal with it along the way. The first one says, my wife talks to me with no respect, and she doesn't even cook or clean. I work hard all day, and she sits around the house giving me orders. I like a coworker at work who acts a lot more ladylike, and I'm thinking of getting a divorce. What's your advice? See, that's why I said let's go ahead and just start right on with questions. We'll save our comments towards the end. Reed, I'm going to let you hit that one on up, brother.
He's thinking about who or what with who? Man.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
My wife is the man of the house. She wearing a pant.
First and foremost.
And the Timberland.
I guess the main thing is, the question is, has he initiated the three C's yet, you know, with the wife of communication.
Yes.
Set forth the fact that he is taking issue with her behavior. Yes or no?
If you're
coming home and it is what it is, you know, you need to say something because she's not going to read your mind. In the alternative,
before you even go further with that, that's an indicator. You know what that indicates? She's the man at the house because you're scared to talk to her.
Well, you got to make fun of your bro, man, you know?
You're right, man. I'm just saying. You know, you scared to talk to her, brother. Come on, man. Buckle up them pants, man.
He do need to pull them up, you know?
Pull them pants up, man. Wear them jeans, brother. Huh? If you ain't got no jeans, go to her closet and borrow hers, brother, for the time being.
Wow.
Rip some jeans.
That was not even cool.
To be scared to talk to her and to bring up, like you said, Reed, the CCC, communication. Man, you scared to talk to her, brother? Huh?
Why you got to talk to her like that, man? He might not.
I'm just saying, man.
Some people have trouble communicating, man. Some people have trouble opening their mouth to say what's on their mind.
Well, that's the point. I ain't got no, see, I'm going to communicate with you. I'm giving you a sample. I ain't putting sugar on it. I'm telling you.
It's effective communication because he might be saying, oh, baby, why didn't you cook tonight? And, you know, instead of, hey.
Right.
You know, you know what I'm saying? He got to clearly, because here's the thing. Don't just go from not saying nothing to asking her for a divorce. You know? It's like, and don't creep on her. Just get divorced. If it ain't worth a divorce. But, and I know you're going to say you ain't cool with divorce, and I get that. But But the thing is, if it don't work, you ain't supposed to be unhappy. So, you know, speak your piece, and if you haven't spoken your piece, speak your piece, and if that don't work, and you got to go, then you got to go. But speak your piece. Don't just walk off on it. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to mess around, and what happens is the law of attraction, more often than not, we tend to attract the same thing. So you
right,
play
right.
her with a new, younger, shinier version of her. You know?
And
think at work might
thing.
Be cool now until she gets to the house, and then she says she can't
for
quit
real.
Her job.
Boom.
And then she quit her job, and then she'd be like, well, I've been busy and stressed all day because you don't take me shopping. That's why they
well,
cook for you.
Here's the thing, dog. For real, real talk, here's the deal. Real talk, man. I feel like one of our problems is that we do not communicate like we should. You know, we don't open our mouths until it's too late. And one of the things, and let me stop being funny for a minute, because you know what? I understand how it feels to be in a situation where you've been kind of like, in a sense, intimidated in life because of the simple fact the person who you were with, you know, you trying to do everything you can to be in a peaceful situation only to find out that no matter what you do, they're not pleased with you and so forth and so forth. I get that, okay? So real talk, I get it. But I'll tell you this, when I got out of that situation, I swore to myself I would never, ever, 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 ever allow myself to get into a situation where I was intimidated to the point where I couldn't say what I felt. And here's the reason why. You know, there's a saying in the Bible. The Bible tells the wife to respect her husband, but you will also notice that the Bible also says for the husband not to be bitter against his wife. So the wife, the main core job of the wife is to respect the husband in the relationship. The main core responsibility of the husband is to not be bitter against the wife. So why do you think he said that? Well, I said this time and time again. You end up being bitter with people who you can't really communicate your true feelings with in relationships. And why is that? Because you're holding all this secret resentment against them, all this secret dislike against them. And because you're not opening your mouth, it's like planting seeds in your own heart. And every time they do something that irritates you, you're watering that seed, and it's constantly growing and growing and growing. And now you're currently in a situation where you're about to add fuel to your own fire. Not only do you have a bad relationship at the crib, but you're now going to add more fuel to the fire by bringing in adultery. And so, like Reed said, you know, just because if she's cute right now, it's just like a relief to you, okay? And that relief that you have going on doesn't mean that you're actually going to get true relief. Cheating is not going to make your situation any better. So, with all that being said, before you move into adultery, I will simply suggest to you, open your mouth, because guess what? When you have that adulterous situation, if you file for divorce, guess what? At that point, you're still going to have to open your mouth anyway. So let's do what we call the road less traveled. Let's do the things that real men should be doing. Let's man up, say what we have to say, open our mouths, and then if things are still not going to gel together, like Reed said, I am against divorce, but I understand it happens. But at least do the first simple thing first.
You know, you said, go to jail together. I was thinking J-A-I-L, not G-E-L.
Oh.
I was
mean,
like,
mesh.
Wait a minute.
Let me rephrase that.
Hold
you
on,
know, sometimes you game meshing together, not jail. No, not going to jail. Hold on, player. We ain't talking about that, buddy. Hopefully that
jail.
Answers your question. All right.
Jail,
Mr. Reed, I'm going to hand the ball off to you on number two. Number two says, when we first moved in together, I let her run the house so she could make the house her home. Now, when I have anything to say about what I don't like, she talks to me like I ain't nothing. I feel like I gave up too much ground and should have put my foot down a long time ago, but doing so now could ruin the relationship. What do y'all think? Reed, what do you say to this guy?
Well, he already analyzed his own issues. He recognizes that he gave up more power than he should have initially. And so, you know, he took the pants off and handed them to her. That's what he's telling you. He's saying, I took the pants off and I allowed her to wear the pants. That's what he's saying.
Right.
And he recognizes that he did. And now he's saying, I want my pants back. But if I ask for my pants back, she's going to be mad and say, but you gave them to me. You're an Indian giver. But here's the point. In the end, even if you do allow her, as you said, which, you know, we all grown, so she's going to do what she want to do regardless. You say you gave it to her, whatever.
Right.
All it was was she was opening her mouth and nagging and talking a specific way, and instead of him confronting it, he was like, okay, yeah, go ahead. Now he's tired of that because he's not happy. And it's the same comments from the first guy, you know, insert here. If you're not happy, open your mouth and say something. It's that simple.
Yep.
Show your discord, because that's all women do. When you sit there and talk about your woman nagging you and getting on your nerves and bothering you and all that stuff, all they're really doing is voicing their displeasure with the situation. Now, the way
right.
they do it is different because they sit there and they understand that, you know, they speak in that higher octave and they keep hitting that higher octave repeatedly. It gets to the point where we're like, dude, will you please just shut whatever that is up that's coming out of your mouth, just shut it up. They could be saying something, you know, that's perfectly fine and factual, but in the end, you don't want to hear it anymore because they hit you with that octave. You know what I'm saying? So for you as a man,
hitting you with that octave, huh?
Man, it's that high pitched whiny sound that starts coming out their mouth. Dude, it don't matter what they say. It could be, like I said, they could be right on point about me being wrong, but it's that whole dude, that octave, man. You know, I don't like that. But as a man, you know. I'm sorry, I digress. As a man, it's your responsibility for your own happiness. You know what I'm saying? You can't rely on somebody else to make you happy. You got to go and turn within and make yourself happy. And if you're not happy with your situation, change it. It's that simple.
You said with that octave?
With that octave, though, man.
What that octave sound like? What that octave sound like?
Man, it's a... You know, you take, like, two fingers. Don't do the whole hand on the chalkboard. Just do two fingers, man, and scratch them down that chalkboard. That's what that octave sound like, man. It's loud and, don't like it.
Oh, you're so stupid.
What's your boy from the San Francisco 49ers, the former head coach that was a linebacker? What was his name? He used to play for the Chicago Bears.
I don't remember, man.
Former Chicago.
Oh,
Mike
no.
Singletary, man. Mike Singletary. When he was talking about sending the tight end to the locker room, and he said, we can't have players like that. Can't do it. Won't do it.
Can't do it, huh?
Can't have it.
All right, well, let me talk to him. Sir, let me tell you this. When you took your pants and you handed them over, that left you walking around the house in your drawers, okay? And it's hard to be a man when you ain't got no pants and you walking around in your drawers. Okay? You all exposed, brother. And so now, I understand, and I'm not trying to be a male guy. I'm not trying to be funny. But the real talk, I think that part of the problem is that before we go any further, and I do have to give this quick disclaimer, because we are trying to support the guys as far as having some form of dignity and feeling like you're the man in your home and all this kind of stuff. What it boils down to, go back to what I said. What it goes back to, in the scriptures, it tells the woman to respect her husband. That's the main role, respect your husband. But it tells the husband that his job is to not be bitter against her. Okay, so by you not opening your mouth and really expressing how you feel, I cannot tell you how many men I know and that I talk to who have secret resentment about their woman. And for any women who are out there listening to this show, I promise you, if you think that you're talking crazy to your man, it's going to make him love you and it's a form of control, even though that man may not open his mouth, I promise you, that man got some bitterness against you and don't like you, and if it continues, then he's going to start seeking contentment elsewhere. Now, he will feel secure, and I see a hand up. We'll take your hand in just a moment. He will feel secure in the fact that he has a wife in that home, but he is not pleased with who he's with, so he will emotionally detach from you. And a lot of women say, well, my man, he really don't talk much in the relationship. Well, on behalf of more than half the men in America, let me tell you why he don't say nothing. Because you doing all the dominating talking. And if you're a dominating person who's doing all the talking, and even if he tried to squeeze a few words in, you shutting the man down, then how much talking do you think this man is going to do? So he's doing a whole lot of talking, but it's not to you. Let me clarify. There's two places that a man will do his talking where he cannot talk to the spouse in his home. He will either talk to his, well, let me give you three. He will be talking while you yak, yak, cluck, 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 cluck. I say like a chicken, mystery, cluck, 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 cluck. While you clucking, he's talking, but it ain't coming out his mouth. It's going in his head, cussing you out, talking about how he can't stand you. That's what he does. But in addition to that, when he wants to express his feelings outwardly out of those two lips that's on his face, there's two places he will typically go. Number one will be to some of his homeboys if he feels comfortable sharing how he feels with some of his partners. Number two, it will be to a polite woman who's kind in her approach to him because she's replenishing what you're depleting out of him. What is it that she's replenishing to him? His feeling of being a man, his feeling of being respected when he talks. His authority is being respected, and it doesn't have to be major authority. Well, hey, you do it. I say, I ain't talking about that. I ain't supporting those kind of dudes. I really ain't. But at the same time, what I'm saying is if he opens his mouth and he feels like his words are not being respected or at least being heard, I promise you he's going to express them somewhere else. It just won't be with you. And when you think, oh, I got this man under my control because guess what? When I snap my finger, he does this and he don't say a word. Honey, you only playing yourself. I promise you, you just playing yourself. You think that man ain't doing this and that. You think that man is under your control. The problem is, yes, you have him under control in your house. But when that man leaves, I promise you, he finding relief somewhere else. And you wouldn't be happy with it. So don't think that you can control anybody. And I would, if this was a woman's show and I was talking with women, I would support it the other way around too. Ain't no man should be sitting up there trying to dominate the home with his mouth. In other words, everybody should have something to say and be heard when they speak. Why? Because what I have to say is just as valuable as what you have to say. And what you have to say is just as valuable as what I have to say. And arguments typically happens when one or both parties do not honor the fact that people have opinions and they need to be heard. I don't need you to always agree, but I just need to feel like you heard what I had to say because my feelings were valid. Let me take this in. All right, area code 678. And by the way, if you guys want to comment or question on anything we're saying, disagree, agree, that's cool. Hit the number one key, area code 678. I'm muting you. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing? This is Q in Atlanta.
Yes, hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Here's where I agree with you, first of all. I volunteer a lot for men's groups and young boys' groups, and I tell them there's nothing wrong to love yourself more than you love a chick. And the sad thing is, agreeing with you on what you just said, you got too many males that mentally put themselves in servitude. Now, that isn't to say women are bad. It's actually a man's fault when he does this to himself. You are another human being like this lady is. You have every right to voice what you don't like, what you do like. And maybe it is you, and maybe it is her. But you'll never find out by keep holding him back.
Yep. Tell the T-R-U-T-H, sir. You're absolutely right. And again, I'm not trying to say that men, when you say what you have to say, that everything that falls from your lips means that you were right in how you've seen things. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that because, again, you're just flipping the role around to which we're trying to get away from, which is people dominating and controlling another person. That's not the point of this conversation. We're not here to control and dominate anybody. We're here to honor, respect, and love each other and to avoid these secret affairs like this guy is about to get into. You're about to get into a secret affair, and the only reason why this lady is probably being nice to you right now is because of the simple fact it's sneaky. Everything is fun when you're being sneaky.
But at no point in time did I say dominate. I mean, I'm saying voice what you feel, even if it's right or wrong. Because like you said, in all the counseling that I've done, it is sad when you see these guys who they want to go cheat or they want to hit a chick, and all the stuff has to do with them not feeling empowered. And it's really beyond a lady many of the times. Now, here's the only part that I disagree with you on. I think that ladies need to, and I'm going to be very blunt and brief, stop trying to pick a penis that you can control. So many times, ladies pick dudes with absolutely no character. No character to help himself in a storm, in an earthquake. A guy who freaks out over flat tires. You know it and I know it, bro. You done seen him in the barbershop. They tell us one thing, and then we see them out in the world, and they live in a totally different way. Yeah, we all do it, but as a man, you have to be more calculated with what you're doing. Even if you're not very successful, you got to be calculated. And what I mean by picking a penis they can control, ladies sometimes pick dudes who they can't even take care of themselves, and the women know it. But the guy who, let's say like you, maybe you got a BTR show, maybe you're writing a book. You got deadlines. You got stuff you got to get done. So you're harder for her to control. But I'd rather hear your thoughts.
Let me turn to Reed. Reed, what do you say on that?
He hit a nail right on the head with that one, man. I mean, it also depends upon the perspective, of the woman. Because more often than not, it makes me go back to some prior calls, and I've said this on multiple times, that it really depends upon that age group, too, you know. You got your 20s, 30s, your 30s, 40s, 40s, and 50s, with regard to where the woman is and where she's at. Now, if she's trying to find, someone to take care of her, which, that particular, I'd say from 34 down, a lot of the time you have this mentality that he's supposed to take care of her no matter what. And she can do what she pleases, but he should be able, and they can come in and they can run down a list for you. Height, he should look this way, he should make this much money. But in the end, at the end, before they finish, it's always, she wants to be able to shop when she wants to shop. She wants to be able to live the lifestyle she wants to live. And he's supposed to provide that. They're not saying that they have to provide it for themselves. And so that's the woman that's going to be, like he just said, looking for that penis that they can control, because in the end it should be about her. That's a selfish thought. When you look at others that are a little more seasoned, have been in and out of relationships or for that matter are just more mature and are actually looking for some team building here, because marriage is actually a team event. It is a selfless event. It is two people becoming one. It is not a selfish thought. And if they truly appreciate that, then they're not going to be wanting to look for someone that they can ultimately control, because it will be the two of them coming together to make something better, to build something, But to take what he said a step further, back in the day, we used to always say, more often than not, chicks are trying to change dudes, and they try and change them to make them into what they see you should be. And that is that's another different level of control there, where why can't you just take him for who he is in front of you? And so what you have is, from the other side, they're saying, he's got a few tools, but he doesn't have everything that I want in a man. Well, then why are you with him? But instead of being patient and waiting for what God may have for them, women are deciding to settle on the two or three characteristics that they see that they can work with, and then try and mold this man into these other things that they want him to be, versus just getting everything that they want, day one.
Well, here's something that we might not need to look at, and I'm not a woman, so I'm going to say the disclaimer, I don't know, but here's one of the things that I think is part of the problem, is that, number one, you want a paying penis. You want one that you can control and he pays. It's a devil's winner for me, if I was a woman, because at the same time, I'm controlling my pot of gold, and so a lot of women, this is what they want. They want a guy who they can control, shut up, let me do my thing, just keep me cute, spend on what I want, but I don't need your input, I need your check and some sex. That's pretty much it. Now, on the flip side, here's something that we really have not looked at, and it kind of ties into tomorrow's show. Tomorrow, for all our listeners, we're going to be talking about, are black men making excuses, or do they really have disadvantages? One of the things that I think why so many men have given up easily the head of household and are waiting for women to take control and tell them what to do is because a lot of young men have grown up in a single home with their mom, and so they're used to being told and instructed by their mother on exactly what to do and how to do it. And so when they get married or start dating, they try to find somebody who is similar to their mother. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing because, you know, one of the I know a gentleman right now, he's a top executive director of a company, and, you know, he grew up in a single home, turned out fine. So it can work out for good sometimes, and because he's sensitive and understand exactly what it takes to be a good man in the household. But then you have others who say, hey, you know, I grew up under this parameters of her being the mother, being the ruler of the home. So I've never learned how or what it takes to wear the pants in the family. And oftentimes you will see this because here's where it gets bad. A lot of abusive homes, you'll find that men were those who grew up, or let me rephrase that, those who are running abusive homes in many situations grew up without fathers. And so they come in, they be over-dominant, they don't have a loving nature, they just know my mama ran the show and I'm not trying to have this woman run the show. My mama told me what to do. I ain't going to never have no other lady tell me what to do. We call those, Larry Bellotto was a guest on our show, and he's one of the nation's foremost experts in relationships. The U.S. government uses his programs. He was a guest on our show a little while back, and he said you have two types of personalities. You have those who assimilate and buckers. Buckers are people who grew up in a certain home, a certain type of home, and their programmers, as he called them, which is your parents or grandparents or whoever raised you, they raise you a certain way. And when you become grown and you say, hey, I don't want to be like them, then you tend to do everything to the fifth power with extreme effort to be different from what you saw. Now, what do I mean by all of this? A lot of guys who did not learn how to be a tender, loving male in the home, they tend to be buckers to the fifth degree. So they come in and overdo it. They over-dominate. They're always trying to control. So they turn in to these ugly monsters because they didn't learn. Now, you have those who assimilate who doesn't mind that his woman is running the show telling them what to do. Why? Because it's normal to him. That's the way mama did it, and my woman is just mama. Only advantage is I get to have sex with her. So you got to look at these dynamics of things that we're not talking about as to why people are, you know, why guys are easily nowadays willing to take off the pants and not take leadership. Now, when I say leadership, and I want to be clear on this, leadership also means leading. A lot of men want the title, but they don't want to do the job. So that's not fair to the woman. So if you want leadership, you have to learn what it is to be a nice, loving man who leads his family and earns the right for her to submit, or I don't even like that term because it's being misused, but she gives him the authority to take the lead on certain levels while she takes the lead on others. I believe in dual leadership in the home because it's a partnership you create. So in certain areas where he's stronger, he should take the lead. But in other areas where she's stronger, she should take the lead. I'll give you an example, and then I'm going to turn to Reed, and I know we're over time, but here's the deal. I have a family member who's married, been married for years, and the wife is better at handling the finances. So she should man up and take the lead on that. Don't give it to him. That brother is not going to pay the bills on time. You will be homeless fooling with him.
Why can't she?
Okay, I love my brother, but you understand?
Why can't she woman
I mean,
up?
It's real.
Why she,
yeah,
why she
woman
got up.
Please handle that
up.
Checkbook. Yeah, I don't want my nieces sitting on, and nephew sitting on the sidewalk and giving it to my brother. But, however, when it comes to other things, my brother is good and very loving and very, very supportive, and he plays his role very well. That's why they've been married for so doggone long. It's because they finally identified when is it okay for me to take the pants off and give them up to her because she's better at this. But in other areas, I need to keep the pants on because – if I foolishly give away the pants, then to her, this is not her strength. So it's about, like Jackie said on her show yesterday, don't let pride and ego cause you to want to be a man where you don't need to be, and don't let your low self-esteem or whatever you want to call it cause you to give up the position where you are strong. There's a happy medium, and you guys have to work through it. Reed, what do you say in closing?
You've made reference, and we've made reference on multiple times on this show about a good man. We still need that show. and I really want you to just post it on Facebook, and we plan it out. If it's not next week, then 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. But we really need to show on what is a good man.
We
need that. And we need the opposite. What's a good woman? We need that. We need to
sounds
show
like
on
a plan.
Each one.
Yes, sir.
All
yep.
I got.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, people, thank you for the show. Mr. Atlanta, thank you, and all the listeners who tuned in today, thank you for listening. Tomorrow, again, we're going to be talking about are black men making excuses, or do they really have disadvantages? So we'll be right back here tomorrow, same bad time, same bad channel. Make sure to go to our Facebook page. We always post up a lot of different things on there. There's thousands of people on there, so engage with our audience on there. Our Facebook is The Conflicts of Life, and our email address is theconflictsoflife@yahoo.com. All right, everybody? Hope you have a great evening. Drive safe, and we will be here tomorrow. Peace and hair grease. All right. Bye.
Good night.